everyone. We have some coverage live from DreamHack Dallas 2023. While we were there, we got the chance to talk to Claudia Beeden. She is the Vice President of People and Culture over at the ESL Face It Group. Beeden's role is leading diversity, equity, and inclusion, as well as the EFG's CSR initiative, GG for All. Give this a listen and let us know what you think.
My name is Claudia Beeden. I'm the Vice President of ESL Facebook Group, People and Culture, a team. My role is I lead diversity, equity, and inclusion and our CSR initiative, GG for All. That's what I do.
And one of the reasons I was so, I wanted to talk to you is I'm actually in DEI myself, on top of the recruiting piece, because often HR folks, that's how we start off in that DEI space. But there was,
for sure.
There was something beautiful that, and we haven't been to DreamHack since 2019, but one of the things that I was reminded of as I was walking the floor was this is one of the most diverse gaming conventions that I have ever been to. And it's amazing, and whether it's Dallas or Atlanta, these are cities that have naturally diverse populations. I was wondering if there is kind of that conscious choice in choosing where to have DreamHacks, or if that's just kind of coincidental.
Most definitely. I'm not the subject matter expert on DreamHack. That would be Shaheen.
Yeah.
However, I do know that we are intentional in all our choices that we make. So coming to Dallas, for example, or Atlanta, or even San Diego, we do understand, because we do the data analytics behind who's the audience that we would be reaching in those particular cities. So we're very cognizant of that fact. And whether those audiences are DreamHack audience, right? Yeah. Are they diverse? Are they inclusive? Would they participate in all the different experiences that we have to offer? So we do take that into account. When I do my work in supporting DreamHacks globally, I do everything localized, right? Mm-hmm. So I make sure that I'm speaking and working with community leaders within each of the cities and countries that we go to. I reach out to different diverse charities, nonprofits that work around gaming or influence gaming, and see if they want to participate in the collaboration and do some cool panel discussions, fireside chats. Q&As are next on my agenda to be able to really bring the audience that comes to DreamHack into the conversation. So yes, I would say we are pretty intentional in what we do.
It's amazing. I'm so used to going over to Seattle and stuff, so having stuff here,
right,
it means great. A lot. So universal participation is such a great directive for ESL Basic, and you all have done a lot of work with ESL Impact and that track for series competition. I was wondering what it was like to build that out and how you've seen it grow.
Oh my gosh. So, it started way before. So, I've been with the company for a little over a year now. So, I came from Live Nation, stayed in entertainment.
Okay. Right? Yeah.
Live Nation does for musicians what EFG does for esports and teams, right? So, if you look at it that way, it's similar territory. And the ideation process around ESL Impact truly started years ago, with conversations with fans, with members of the CSGO community. How can we bring this to life? How can we really build an inclusive platform focused on women and highlighting the talent within CSGO? That took about, I would say, 2 years, serious conversation, two years. And then in 2021, we were able to achieve launch of season one. With no real true expectation, right?
Yeah.
We knew it was long awaited, but we just didn't know how hungry the CSGO community was and women in CSGO. So once we launched, it was literally overnight. We felt the love, we felt the support, we felt the true path for ESL Impact would be long, a long road with lots of different opportunities for women to really jump in and be highlighted. So the plan was to build a 1-3-5 year strategy, right? Now we're talking, what's 10 years out look like?
Yeah.
You know, how can we grow the cup? How can we grow the prize pool, right? So right now the cash prize is 150,000. We know as women that's way too low.
Yeah.
We know that men in CSGO, their cash prizes are higher. So we're working on adjusting that. We're working for that pay equity also for women in ESL Impact, because we find that that's really the next level that we want to tackle is that pay gap with the prize pool. But it's just been really incredibly fruitful, to see everything come into place and anticipating just an incredible, next year, next season. We're already talking about season 4, what does that look like? Who we're highlighting in season 4, so yeah.
And as that translates, being a woman in gaming, there are some things you are always really cognizant about. Yeah. And I think, ESL Impact and watching these women compete on a stage is one piece. What's another way that EFG and DreamHack are working to make sure that women feel included and safe in the physical space, like a live environment?
Well, we've always been an advocate of the separate women's LAN areas. So we were one of the first festivals to do that, I believe. Mm-hmm. So having those inclusive spaces that are safe spaces for women, we make sure that we have the right location that women that are joining, even if they come alone. So we have, I'm sure there's got to be at least, 50 to 100 women that, choose to come on their own with their gaming equipment to meet their community, right? To meet other women that are also playing. And want to connect and join that community. So we create that environment here within DreamHack where everyone, we have security levels, we have, everyone goes through extensive training within the DreamHack organization at every level. Even myself, I went through a 3-hour training, safety training, and to understand, what we need to do to just add that extra layer of protection for women, but for all our fans that join, right?
Yeah.
And want to feel like this is their family, this is a safe space, let me enjoy my time here and not feel like I'm going to run into some sort of threat, right?
Yeah.
So we go out of our way to create that environment. But I think for women in specific, I just think it's the community that we built around, especially ESL Impact, and now the one we're starting to build around Rocket League for women, Rocket Clash happening, hopefully, I think right now. I have to take a look at my schedule. because I want to catch that. But in Rocket League, then growing that community for women within Rocket League is the next exciting step. So there's so many women here for all the right reasons. I'm sure we're breaking records right now on attendance of women.
Yeah.
We broke a record in San Diego. I'm anticipating we're going to have more women showing up in Dallas. I just see so many of us here.
Yes.
So it's super exciting to be a part of that and be able to create that environment. Yeah.
Well, I have definitely noticed, and definitely loved as a fan, and even just as a member of the press.
Yeah.
So yesterday you noted about the importance of building a pathway for college students seeing futures in esports, and just children in general seeing futures in esports. And I wanted to know if you could speak a bit about your work with local universities or college-age organizations to bring some folks over. I know I spoke to some people from Longhorn Gaming that they said they were invited over. So what about that?
So it's perfect segue. So one of my favorite subjects, I spoke about it on, I had a panel earlier today with parents in esports and trying to give insights around how to create some kind of roadmap for parents to understand it's safe for kids to play video games. But part of that was the educational piece. But in regards to, what was your question again? Sorry, I'm starting to drift.
Working with local universities and places.
Thanks. So we are starting that aspect of GG for All. So we reached out to different universities, one in Long Beach that has in California, because I'm based out of LA. I reached out to the University of Texas, who has an esports program now.
Yeah.
To see if we can start to work together and collaborate. What we want to see and what we want to create is that entry point. So students, and it's great that there's an esports curriculum now, but it doesn't need to be from esports because it can be from STEM, right? Anywhere within STEM placement and roadmap, I'm happy to speak to college students, professors, and educators about why it's so great to look for a career in esports. But we're starting to really, truly build that roadmap and that connection point. So part of what the first step is the career booth. So I don't know if you guys have seen the career booth.
Yes,
it's down on the main floor, across from the main stage. So the EFG career booth is that first entry point where we get to meet you as a fan, tell you a little bit about our background on the organization, tell you that EFG, ESL Facing Group, is the parent company to DreamHack, Sports Games, Face It, now VIP EE also that we just merged with. So many different opportunities that most gamers don't realize that they have to be able to enter into a career where with the product that they're passionate about. So we're helping people. I mean, today alone, we had over 200 people stop at the booth, talk to us, and not even realize, oh, my God, I can really stay within esports and have a, and make a career out of it. You know, a couple of people I spoke, a couple gentlemen I spoke to today, they're in finance or like accountants or finance or something. And like, we have a finance department.
Yeah.
We need people that understand the nature of what we do. Love what we do with esports and understand finance. And they're like, really? I'm like, yeah, we have marketing, we have, you know, project management, product management, we've got, you know, people and culture. You name it, we're a global organization that has different opportunities to so many people. So that piece of it, we travel now. So we love DreamHack. So we see DreamHack the same way you do, through the lens of DE&I, through that inclusion piece that DreamHack does so beautifully.
Yeah.
And we started here with our career booth. So because of that, right? Because we wanted to touch all different levels of gamers, all different walks of life, all everything. We wanted to make sure that we started where we felt was super inclusive of a festival to be able to touch more of our fans at different times and periods of their life that would relate so well to what we're trying to do. So that's one of the reasons why we love the DreamHack brand so much. And we tested and piloted the EFG career booth here first, and now we're taking it to IEM.
That's
so
amazing.
So we'll be in Cologne in Germany.
Yeah.
We're thinking about Gamers 8, you know.
That is so cool. I mean, from my recruiting brain is just so excited.
I know, right?
Because I'm like, this is such an amazing
And it's so fun to talk to people.
Yeah.
It's so fun to talk to people here because they really don't connect a job or a career by coming to a festival like ours, right? They just think, oh, I'm going to have a great time. But, oh, my gosh, I can do this all the time. And work and have a great time at the same time. So it's super cool. But the university and the academic side of it, we are just starting that out because we know that it really does start there.
Mm-hmm.
So many professors reached out to me after, who was it? It wasn't just San Diego. It was last year. Actually, it was last year here in Dallas. I met a couple of the professors that were leading the esports department at University of Texas, and they were so excited to just be able to talk to us about their students and how they're building out the curriculum and you know what it's going to look like. So the excitement's there. I probably have more academic professors wanting to talk to us and be a part of it, then we know what to do with our hands. Because it's just, you know, it's just exponentially gone up. But that's the entry point. That's where we see potential, you know, colleagues of us coming through that pipeline of universities and colleges upon graduation. Yeah, we want to help them to realize their dreams.
And I kind of, do you want to ask a question?
Yeah, I guess kind of on that, because obviously you're talking about women, you know, like starting up the women tournaments and playing for that.
Yeah.
Is there anything looking, because women are also very underrepresented in STEM. And
Absolutely.
So I didn't know if there's any focus in looking, branching into that way as well.
My favorite. So I have two girlfriends that are rocket scientists at NASA. So I always like to bring them up because, you know, when we were little, they were always the ones dissecting frogs or chemistry sets and playing video games, you know, with their brothers beating their brothers and stuff. And, you know, STEM is so important for young girls, elementary school age, to understand that we all have the capability. If you are so inclined and have that, you know, mathematical, you know, edge to you or scientific, we encourage all girls in every age to pursue that. So I think part of, as I grow the GG for All initiative and start traveling and working with schools, part of it is also elementary schools.
Yeah.
because it's not only the collegiate level, but it's really starting earlier with the younger students and helping the parents to understand. You know, I think I mentioned it here. I know I talked about it on the panel discussion earlier today, that parents need to see that connection in STEM through gameplay and through early gameplay, right?
Yeah.
As a daughter or son, it doesn't matter. It's really any child is going to benefit from that. Having the parents support that and understand how it does teach the soft skills side besides the STEM side of it.
Exactly.
It's just, you know, I wish I knew more about this. I wish my parents did when I was young, because I might have gone a different path, right?
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. No, I feel that entirely.
Right.
I actually, you say that, especially for younger ages. My mom stopped counting my brother about video games when she noticed that he could do math, because he had been adding up his points on Kirby Air Ride. And
exactly.
It would show you the screen.
Yeah.
And she was trying to find something. He told her, and she was like, how did you learn that? He was like, Kirby. So
but see, there's the connection right
things.
There. Yeah. Working with our parents, it's important. Yeah.
Actually, that was my next question, was about working with parents and finding those features in
games. So I did the panel today. I don't know if you guys caught it or not. I was on main stage, had an incredible group of parents. We delved into, you know, what were the fears originally that plagued you as a parent, and why it made you hesitant to support your kid, you know, gaming.
Yeah.
And then we had one influencer parent that's Clarksy. Is it Clarksy from, he's the dad to him from Fortnite. So one of the major pro Fortnite players, and he was telling the story that he tried to persuade his son not to play Fortnite.
He
was really against it, like didn't want him, like made strict rules around when he could play, when he couldn't play. And it turns out now he just signed, I don't know, some multi-million-dollar deal last week. And the father's like, I can't believe I was saying no, and my son showed me a new way, a new path.
Yeah.
It's the future. So, and the father happened to be a CEO of a very large company.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting to see how minds change when they see that your child is passionate but really good at it and can monetize it into a livelihood, right? And can actually have a career in it and build a brand around it. Again, not every kid's going to be a pro player. We know that. But any kid that has a passion, or child that has a passion in video games, certainly can have a career in esports now.
Exactly.
It is just, you know, parents, we're opening, you know, those doors and those eyes to those parents to understand.
Yeah. And I think my last question, especially when it comes to working with parents, I mean, like traditional sports, there's kind of a window.
Yeah.
So what happens, have you thought with GG for All about building out kind of information about what you can do after an esports career? After you're an attempt,
jeez, you know,
that was my question. That's fine.
Yeah, that
was his question. I just, he's like,
I love the question. Whoever,
yes,
great question. But does there need to be an end to esports, like as a career?
Well, I guess for me, I'm wondering if you can't play anymore. I've known plenty of players, pros, and they're like,
absolutely.
I can't play anymore. So what do I do?
Great
and
example.
They're like, I have no idea.
Fantastic example. My earlier panel today on ESL Impact Women in esports, breaking down barriers, I invited Miss Harvey, Stephanie, can't remember her last name right now, I'm really bad. Miss Harvey, I know her by her player name. She's 5-time global world champion CSGO.
Yeah.
Way before ESL Impact. Okay.
Yeah.
She is an influencer. She's dabbled in casting. Now she's the chief culture officer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, for Flywheel Red.
Yeah.
And Chief Diversity and Equity.
Yeah.
And she blew my mind, because she's not only shaped her gaming career, now she's been out of gaming, I believe, for 10 years now.
Yeah.
But she reached the highest height she could back then. Women weren't really praised, right, for being top CSGO players. Let's call it the way it was. But she was able to take that talent that she had achieved and the networking that she had done as a player, pro player, and then pivot into becoming and shaping a role where there's purpose and profit, right?
Yeah.
to me, that's my whole life. It's finding purpose and profit and combining the two for a career.
Yeah.
And she's a great example. So whether you're male, man or woman, player now, there is a career path for you if you want it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like any athlete.
Yeah.
If you, you know, you can be, well, I won't say LeBron James.
LeBron James.
He makes it a little more.
Yeah. Can't really bring him up, but he popped in my head.
Yeah.
Because I'm from LA.
Yeah.
But let's say you're a lower level NBA player, because my favorite sport is NBA. So I'm watching sport. And let's say, you know, you play a good 12-year run. You're only 32 when you get out.
Yeah.
But you hit your peak. What are your options, right? If you graduated from university, which most of the players have, you could fall back on your degree, communications, journalism, whatever the case may be, become a caster.
Yes.
You see that readily happen, right? Or you see them go into media because they're savvy. They've built a brand for themselves. So it's the same thing. I think the players that are on the circuit now, way savvier.
Yeah.
Than what Miss Harvey had to work with. She didn't even have social media yet.
Yeah.
I think whether that's good or bad, I don't know. But to build a brand as a pro player, you need that now.
Which goes back to those soft skills you were saying.
Soft skills.
Fostering all of it.
Yes. Yeah. It's all being tied in together. It's like a little ecosystem of, you know, what I do first, what I do next, who I meet, who I help support. And every step of the way, Gigi for All wants to support you as a player, you as a fan, you as a gamer, in any and every aspect of your, you know, your cycle through video games, right? So we're building this together. You're part of this by just sitting here and asking me these questions. You're helping to build the message, right? And that's all we can ask for, is work together and build the right message, send that out, send that positive message out to those that need to hear it.